Yeah, I buy this sequence up until here. I don't know why. I don't know. Just the idea of Mutt is Tarzan just doesn't really do it for me.
Painful.
Yeah, I know.
I think everybody was.
And there was some unintentional laughter if I.
Oh, yeah. I think that goes without saying.
It's just these types of sequences. I mean, these people just start wondering, what does the director think?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you actually want to put this on screen, it doesn't matter who the director is. You know, you stupid stuff like that.
God.
I mean,
well, it's sort of like the kid using like gymnastics against like the raptor in Lost World.
No, that's one of the
that.
First things
it's
I've
like,
ever
what
seen
the hell?
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Here's my favorite lines. I think, or did we already talk over it?
That's
what
I'd be talking
about. Dr. Bill. It's like one of those lines where he.
Now, what school exactly did you learn this from? That's what I want to know. I mean,
I have nothing to say.
There really is nothing to say. I mean, it's the only thing that makes it better. I mean, but at the same time, it's got to be better than the fireplace scene in episode 2 because we didn't walk out.
Yeah.
We almost
probably
did.
Because
there
was
enough time to walk out.
Yeah, because there's some really good action during this.
Yeah.
See the monkey's health? There's some plot necessity to it. Yeah, that's gonna help. That's funny, just.
It's my mom's favorite scene.
I got that.
Did she say that ironically? Because this kind of freaks me out.
Because, you know, I freaked her out, too. I loved watching her when I brought her to see this in the theater.
Yeah.
That's the scary stuff right there.
Yeah. Yes, let's bring all the Russians in to get eaten by the ants.
I guess this is supposed to be the answer to, you know, what's going to be the scene in the next Indiana Jones movie is going to be, I don't know, like the phobia scene or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, you know, whatever the answer is to what the next, what, you know, the,
you know, because he had
the soul, you know, in Raiders, you know, you got the bug in the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
You got the rats in,
oh, yeah, that's right.
In,
I kind of remember the one from Last Crusade, and yeah, it's the rats.
I mean, the part of what made those scenes work as well as they did was because they were in, you know, they took place in, you know, really claustrophobic spaces.
Right.
I guess it's worse for what it is. I mean, the ants are pretty cool, and I like how they get out of it. I like, you know, I like that the skull has something to do with it.
Yeah, I do too.
And this is like, you know, this is like the big fist fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the you know.
There's always, like, a minor, you know, heavy in these movies. And, you know, the German officer in Last Crusade was one. The,
The big dude in the German was the guy in Temple Doom.
Temple Doom.
The guy who fights right before they get on the minecarts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
He wasn't in Last Crusade.
In Raiders of the Lost Ark, there was the German in the truck chase. That he kept going mono with.
Yeah, but
trying to take that.
Well, there's also the German, with
the plane.
With the plane,
yeah.
The guy that gets sliced and diced.
Yeah.
That hurts. I like how this is like a big fist, but this is a pretty good
fight. How did, I can't remember the actor's name, but how did he get involved with this? I know they talked about him in the extras, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
He's just a big Russian dude. That's all, I mean.
But it's like, it seemed like there was a there was something particular about the way that they chose him.
I don't recall.
Okay.
From the extras.
I guess I really don't. But
I remember seeing him in interviews, but like that's about it. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I totally believe this is, you know, this fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Is I think that's part of the appeal of Indy is the fact that, like, he's not the strongest guy, but it's like he finds a way to win in the end. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I mean, when he gets hit, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not...
That's the way, like, Nathan Fillion was trying to channel, you know, when he played Malcolm Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know... I mean, he's a huge Harrison Ford fan, and like he knows, he tried to channel how Harrison Ford like really sells a hit.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
because he's gotta get his hat back.
It's all about the hat.
Like seriously, I mean, I think Harrison Ford said once it was like this. Single most impractical costume for a hero ever.
Yeah.
Like, my God, why on earth?
Leather jacket.
Yeah.
Fedora. It's always that would come off at just about every opportunity. You know, it doesn't because it's a movie.
Yeah.
I love Ben Burtt talking about, you know, his work on the trilogy, the original trilogy, and like one of the first things he asked Spielberg was, "Does the hat ever come off?"
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it doesn't. And Ben Burtt was like, okay, I know exactly what kind of movie this is, man.
Gee, I don't know why I don't buy that in a second.
I buy this, though.
Yeah, this is funny.
Yeah. I buy that. I totally buy
that. Okay, the payoff is kind of worth it.
Yeah. Exactly.
The payoff is kind of worth it.
Yeah. But then, you know, we got the three waterfalls and three times it drops. Although I do like the shot right before they go over the third waterfall. It's kind of it's a little reminiscent to right before the tank goes over the cliff in Last Crusade. It's actually shot almost exactly the way the tank going over the cliff in Last Crusade was.
Yeah.
Soon to be the next ride at, well, I guess not Universal Studios. Wasn't Paramount gonna have a theme park at one point?
Well, I thought, wasn't Indiana Jones, like, part of, like,
Disney?
The MGM?
I guess, yeah.
Studios and the MGM brand studio and Disney.
Well, they had a whole showcase at one point there. I don't know if it's still there. I do remember thinking it was pretty neat, though. This plays a little bit better on DVD. It played a little bit better the second time I saw it in the theater. I saw this twice in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember talking to my mom.
At least they fall out of the boat.
Yeah.
I mean,
they get the delivery there. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
<He's all bad. laughs>
Yeah.
This one might, you know. The first two I didn't lose my hat. This one might make my hat fall off, though, so I'm going to take it off. This sequence plays a little bit better on DVD, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because in between each one of those falls, Harrison Ford kind of comments on it.
Yeah.
Just how ridiculous
it is.
Yeah, yeah. And so that kind of makes it work, too.
I like how she's still holding on to the steering wheel.
Now, is Mac a good guy or is he a bad guy?
In the end, I can't remember. I think he ends up being...
Well, I mean, that's the thing, like, that's the thing, in the end, ultimately, he's a bad guy, but at the same time, you, that's the thing, you end up liking the character so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because George Lucas told me to.
because otherwise, without me, the story wouldn't continue.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
And then there's an all too obvious Star Wars reference later on with the I have a bad feeling about this.
Oh yeah.
But there is more weight to this whole, last quarter of the movie. There is more weight to it now that I understand what the hell is going on, which I did in the first.
Yeah.
With the skull and the importance, the significance of, everything Oxley did, beforehand.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is like that the aliens brought all this technology to this But yeah, no, that's the thing. What's important is it's aliens in an Indiana Jones movie.
Right.
It's
not Indiana Jones in an alien movie.
It's aliens in an Indiana Jones
movie. Yeah.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
The concept of aliens coming down and teaching ancient culture has been done before.
Yeah.
In various
has places. Been explored yeah. before, yeah. So.
Yeah.
But rehashing that concept here actually kind of still, it still kind of felt fresh.
I don't really want to bring this series up because, it's so bad, but they sort of acknowledge something similar in the Alien vs. Predator movie.
Oh, really?
Where it's like, the whole idea is like actually it was more in
Predator. Was it the Predator race? Yeah. Was it the Predator race that like taught humans how to...
Well, it wasn't exactly that, but it's like they were, they've come to this planet before, mm-hmm. so...
No, it just wasn't that clear to me. I don't know what that says about me and my attention span. But it just wasn't clear to me, the significance of,
And just making sure.
The significance of everything that goes on prior to all this and what leads the characters to act this way.
Right.
This is pretty cool. This is a neat little trailer.
Yeah.
Anytime you got Indiana Jones running from
anybody, it's really, really cool. It's fun. Yeah.
Oh no, they have those things you can tie your feet together. Run! Dave, your thoughts on Temple Doom?
I've only seen it a couple of times.
Really? Oh, gosh.
It's not really my favorite one.
I know, it's not a lot of people's favorites. But, I read somewhere that, but it's a lot of... I don't know, I read somewhere that it's a lot of fanboys' favorites.
Hmm.
I mean... And I thought it was, for like how absurd it was. Like a lot of the novelizations of Indiana Jones have been, just more, the more goofy, kind of absurd kind of premises. Unlike, Raiders and Last Crusade that were kind of more, had some more weight to them, I think. I think because it was, religious artifacts, but,
I didn't mention the when they were in the graveyard, when they were in the graveyard earlier, that whole thing where
who your god is?
Huh?
No.
Where Harrison Ford gets on that little platform and it goes down and up and stuff like that. That was something similar just been done in the second National Treasure movie.
Oh really?
Yeah. Because that's one of many movie franchises that sort of come after Indiana Jones.
The Mummy franchise.
And the Mummy franchise.
Personally, I think National Treasure was not a bad.
No. Close. No, that was one of the better ones.
Yeah.
That was one of the better ones.
I think we're about to hear the War of the Worlds cue.
Yeah, it's
like just
yeah, right here,
right out of that movie.
Yeah,
it's right out of the scene when you know the
tripod. Yeah,
comes out of the street and starts attacking the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught that in the second viewing I had in the theater.
It reminds me of the DuckTales movie.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right there. Okay.
Actually, holding the steering wheel, that kind of reminded me of Tailspin. That's what I was actually doing.
So you're saying George Lucas and Spielberg ripped off from Disney somewhat?
Yeah.
Wow. DuckTales, no less.
Hey, DuckTales is a cool show.
Nah, I remember it. I'm just surprised something like that would be referenced here.
I know. I think like Tailspin's like Dave's favorite of those TV shows. I like. Oh, I think. What did I say last year? Like, I think. I don't think. Was it DuckTales or was it Darkwing? I can't remember. One out.
That's not true.
I don't know if it matters. The point is, we're talking about that type of show when it comes to an Indiana Jones movie.
Does anyone else have anything to say about this?
This is really cool.
This is a very cool.
This is really cool.
Sequence. Yeah, this is a complete fanboy track. Have you figured out?
Well, we chose Crystal Skull though because it was the most. It was more of a discussion piece than the other three though I saw.
Yeah, and I mean, plus it also offered a chance to talk about just the series in general.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, any one of those will have done, but...
But, this is, you know, I mean, it's like how the prequels are more of a discussion piece than the original trilogy, for Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, the original trilogy is, like, after so many years, there's not really much to say on it, but... He just didn't want to see his parents kissing. I get it. Can't say I blame them, but hey.
I don't think any kid likes the idea of parents being affectionate.
No.
At all, ever.
Yeah.
I have a torch.
Yep.
And a dark passageway that you kind of walking in, and there's the shop, and you can see about everyone.
Yeah.
They're only the tourists, and it's kind of...
I like in Last Crusade how he like makes the torch out of the skeleton and the petroleum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ancient technology can't hold up to that.
Nope.
So they got through it their way, and the Russians are getting through it their way.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little.
I remember this
is
my Last Crusade.
I do need to give the soundtrack a proper listening to.
Yeah.
Because what I was telling Brian that I asked for Christmas for the 4-disc special edition, you know, soundtrack to all 4 movies.
I thought it was 5 discs.
Well, okay, it's 5. The 5th disc is some alternate tracks, as well as some interview sound bites. from Spielberg, Lucas, and Williams. Yeah, the appeal to getting this box set was the fact that it was the first time that the soundtrack for Temple of Doom had been available in the U.S. pretty much ever.
Pretty much. I think I'm sure it was available at the beginning of when, you know, Temple of Doom first came out, but yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really, it hasn't been available for a very long time, is the whole point.
Yeah,
so.
For some reason, you were able to get the soundtrack to, you know,
Raiders and Last Crusade, but.
And then Crystal Skull, and that came out. But for some reason, Temple of Doom was not available except for overseas. But it's actually one of my favorite scores of the four as well.
Oh yeah, I mean it's especially if you watch the movie again, you realize just how good that score is.
Mm-hmm.
And what you will about the movie in particular, but that soundtrack is good. Really.
So is the movie.
Movie's all right. I mean, it's probably still like my least favorite of the movies, but
for me it's Temple of Doom, Raiders, Last Crusade. This,
yeah.
But this one's still pretty darn fun to watch.
Yeah.
See, we know that I actually have the plot figured out. I was so annoyed by that.
See, aren't you glad we did this?
Well, no, that's the thing. I figured it out like a couple, you know, like a week ago when I was watching it.
Yeah, but you still had questions when we came in today.
But no, you still haven't answered my question. I mean, I guess you have, but you kind of haven't. But I mean, I guess this is just something we'll have to, like, you know,
yeah,
let Sleeping Dogs Lie at, you know, for the time.
Yeah,
but.
I like this set here.
As do I.
Yeah, it's
a very interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting concept.
Yeah, it is.
And I like how this is kind of like the key to what brings Oxley back. This whole.
Yeah.
I mean, the way John Hurt plays this whole scene is awesome. Mm-hmm. He starts to speak another language, and just I love what's done with his character in this scene. I like her. Actually.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, I think it's fine for the character. I mean, you know, it's like she's just having fun with this role.
Well, what's great is, like, you know, we were talking about this character being a kind of caricature, and, like, you know, what's the one role she won an Oscar for was when she played Audrey Hepburn in
Catherine Hepburn. Yeah. In the Aviator,
yeah. Which that was, and we all we ever talked about was how that was such a caricature of the actual person.
Hey, yeah, and like I said, I mean, sometimes I liked it, sometimes I didn't. I think maybe she just, I'm not entirely sure what order the movie was shot in, but, you know, I think she may have just kind of gotten into it, you know.
Yeah.
And, that was unexpected.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, and I know I've said this before, this is an alien.
Yeah.
But it's in an Indiana Jones movie. Sorry. But I'm saying that's what's great about it.
Yeah.
So they were never going to do Atlantis.
No. So this was always the idea that Lucas had.
Okay. Didn't he originally, he was going to get Natalie Portman to play his daughter?
Yeah, I think that was originally an idea.
Spielberg wanted to be a son.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I should just say Spielberg wanted it to be Shia LaBeouf. And Shia LaBeouf doesn't play
it. Well, and, but the thing is, I mean, I think his son makes more sense.
So do you think he was telling the truth right there? Indiana Jones, he said he wants to give you a gift? Or do you think
do you think he was
kind of translating and then kind of just said, you know, just kind of said what he thought it was saying?
So, like, yeah. You know,
he wasn't translating in real time anymore. And so was he saying something that was, you know, was he trying to trick her a little bit?
I never thought of it that way, but, you know.
No, neither did I, but, I mean, again, it would sort of, like, play to, you know, to a certain extent, sort of play to the formula a little bit. Because, I mean, you know, Elsa in Last Crusade, I mean, you know, it's like, she obviously picked the wrong cup.
Right.
For,
No, Donovan picked the wrong cup.
Yeah, but Elsa picked it for
her. Oh, okay.
Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It's like how Indy, you know, fools Donovan into drinking, you know, from the wrong grail.
Right.
You know, it's how he fools Molaram at the end. You know, he's like, Indy ends up knowing just a little bit more how to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, with the stones and Molaram and Temple of Doom and the Ark and Nazis, you know, at the end. He knows to look at the Ark when it's open or whatever.
Right.
That's I never thought of it that way, Dave. But that's actually a really good notion. I never
thought of it that way either. But
in terms of effects, this thing just always kind of reminded me of like new digital effects trying to do sort of a old school type of effect. It almost seemed like they could have. It's not like this is bad, but it. Especially like this sequence here, it almost looks like they could make it look a little bit better, but they decided not to, you know, just because.
Well, again, it was sort of intentionally trying to capture
dialed
that feel.
Down.
Right. And so for me,
and now make it too polished for
that comes most into place in that sequence right there. It happened a couple of times in the jungle, but. I don't know if you can handle all that knowledge, baby.
Yeah.
You think Ben Burrow will get nominated for this and Wall-E, Brian?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on what he's, it depends on what. Because with sound editing, there's always, like, just a select list of, like, six or seven movies that get, like...
Well, if he's going to get nominated, he needs to be for Wall-E.
Yeah, and, I mean, he needs to win for Wall-E. Because that's, like, some of the best sound design ever.
Mm-hmm. Wall-E, without question, is going to be the best animated movie, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, reminiscent of the androids at the end of AI a little bit there.
Well, and also the aliens in Close Encounters, too, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a piss to me.
Yeah.
Run away! Pretty realistic looking water there.
Yeah.
Water, water, water! I gotta see a little off the Temple of Doom here. I mean, do you guys just, is it really that?
I don't hate the movie. I don't hate the movie. I just am not as. I liked it more the last time I saw it, but, I mean, there's still some really cheesy stuff about it. And, like, some of the effects don't necessarily hold up. So, I mean, no, on the whole, it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the overall backlash to that movie was how dark it was.
Yeah.
That's part of, like, why people had such a problem with it. The fact of the matter is, cannot.
I mean, Lily Scott is a complete.
Well, I like Lily Scott. Heroine. I didn't have a problem with. I mean, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? The same thing over again?
No, but I mean, did she really have to be so whiny?
I didn't ever. Good God. Well,
I thought this was another great looking sequence.
It was.
I didn't really expect it to end. This is totally unexpected ending for me.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect like a ship, you know, to be here.
But it's a good concept, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and this kind of just laid down just how brilliant the concept was, you know, for me.
And then it becomes a, you know, a big lake or whatever it becomes, and then the Aussie line like a room to their footprints. I like that line. Mm-hmm. And this is fairly well. It's pretty well scored.
Yeah.
But then like the music coming up here is like total. Is completely yanked out of Last Crusade, like the wrap up theme, I guess. I kind of like the George Lucas's original title for this was Indiana Jones and the Saucer Man. I think that was kind of a cool title.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's right. This is completely Last Crusade.
Ouch. And this ending is a little unconventional for an Indiana Jones movie, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's like, you want to do something different. Now here's an all too, you know, not, you
yeah,
know, not, you know, subtle nod to, like, you know, the idea that was being played with. I think it's been abandoned since
yeah.
Mutt Williams was going to take over the series. Right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Now, I mean, seeing this movie, I mean, I just can't see it happening.
Neither can I.
I mean, you know.
That was a nice little moment. I like that moment, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
That was a funny little moment. But I think it has since been abandoned, that, you know, the idea that, you know, Shia LaBeouf is going to take over the series.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, I just think the idea of a fifth one, I mean, that's going a little too far with it. I mean, this is a good way to...
It's a good sponsor. That's the thing, like, you know, it's like you know, Rocky
Balboa is, like, probably one of the best of those, like, right. sort of last movies and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
I mean, other than this. I mean, yeah, this
could have easily been a disaster.
Yeah.
So I think I almost got lucky just with concept and all acting. It all just kind of came together.
Yeah.
And you know, sort of the swan song was actually a really, really, really good movie that really actually fit well into the overall arc
yeah.
of the story.
Yeah.
Just kind of got lucky on that. So trying to do a fifth one would be, I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to stretch them up too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, well, I kind of said that too.
I think we all have.
Well, have we?
You want to take us out?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do a bit of a wrap-up. I mean, there's not really... We pretty much covered everything, I think, all the...
I think I covered everything I had to say in, like, the first 5 minutes. But, you know.
Yeah, and yet you continue to talk, so...
Because they're aliens in the Indiana Jones movie!
You didn't explain how organic the story was. Like you did on AI.
Or the lack of organicism.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Well, it is now.
Whatever. But, no, I mean, I was waiting, as much as I liked the conclusion of Last Crusade, I mean, the second one I heard what the idea as far as an aging Indy, I got on board with the idea of a fourth Indiana Jones. And, I mean, if they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have been that upset, but in the end, I'm glad they got to do it.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think everybody sort of over time just fell in love with the idea of another Indiana Jones movie. And, you know, the fact that it took so long is a credit to, you know, how much they love this franchise and this character. They didn't want to just put something out there.
Or is how long it took a credit to, like, how, you know, how nobody saw, nobody was on the same page, though. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, that was also part of it, where it's like, you know, but, I mean, the fact that they could have just as easily put this out in 1994 just as a money grab, and, you know, people still have gone see it, but at the same time, I don't think they will have been as satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you watch this film and see that, can feel that satisfaction in every single one of the principles, and Harrison Ford's contribution, mm-hmm. Spielberg's contribution. I mean, let's face it, this is the most fun movie Spielberg's done since Jurassic Park.
Pretty much.
I mean, you know, he's done great escapism since. I mean, with, Minority Report, but...
Minority Report's probably my favorite of those, of that period of his career.
Yeah.
Without question. I mean, like...
But, no, I mean, you can just feel that it's like they just loved making this movie and just loved revisiting this mm-hmm. character, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's pretty much all I really have to say.
As do I. So,
with that, I am Brian Scuttle.
I'm Dave Miles. Oh, you're Dave Miles. You're Dave Miles. I'm Ronnie Haynes. That's...
I don't know what that was. Dave Miles.
That was Ron's simulation of a joke, I think.
Yeah,
his humor.
And this ending on a somewhat awkward note is Yahoo's with the microphone. And have a good night, everybody. Or day, or whatever the hell you're watching, listening to. Pretty much.